Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Headline, we're down to 53. Two quarterbacks, three running backs, five wide receivers, four tight ends, 12 offensive linemen. The defense looks like it's pretty set the way that it should be. The offense has got some work to do. You got 13 days till you got to get it right. So plenty of time. This is such a weird preseason with three games, and now you got 2 weeks off before you play. I mean, it's just so crazy the way they're doing this. The Astros win 4 out of 6 on the road. Dana Brown, we played him a little bit earlier. He said, you know, that's just Jim Crane has higher standards, and we weren't meeting him. One of the biggest reasons they weren't meeting him is because a lot of the signings that Dana made. Dana makes some good pitching signings. He might still be here, but he had a lot of really, really terrible pitching signings. The Astros, one game over 500, two-game lead over the Rangers, and a five-game lead over the Mariners. They're terrible. Both of them are terrible. They're all terrible.
but you know what? Your job right now is to be the least terrible. Yeah. That's all you're trying to do. Just be the least terrible. Dial in on three starters. If you can find three starters you can trust, four bullpen pitchers, maybe five that you can trust, and you just hope that you hope that Jeremy heats back up, that Jordan is Jordan, and you just need like two more guys to play above average, and then you got a shot at least for the first round.
Yeah. Yeah. Three starters would be fine if they're really good, if they're pitching really well. The bullpen has to be solid, which it has been. The bullpen has been good. You need some clutch hitting. You need guys other than just Jordan and Jeremy. Listen, Paredes has been good. Christian Walker has had an improved year. Altuve's at 700. He's a 708 OPS guy.
It's unbelievable. That's we could unbelievable. Be watching the end of Jose Altuve.
Yeah.
That sucks to even say out loud with your mouth.
And he's better than he was earlier. Mm-hmm. And he's at 708 right now. So, yeah. And then you got some contribution. You got Lamont Wade with the homer yesterday. You got Cam Smith every fourth game or so. He's going to contribute. You got Dalton Varsho, who had a big game and had a two out hits that helped you on Friday night. That was nice. That was really nice. They got that win in large part because of Dalton Varsho. So, you are what you are. You are what you are. This isn't a championship team, but it's been fun. I like this team. I like this team. It's been fun. I think it's been fun to watch. It's been frustrating, but it's also been some. I think Jordan's season has been a lot of fun to watch. And we got a month to go. We got 1 month to go, and we got the crappiest division maybe ever. Maybe ever. what else do we have? We have, Aaron Donald. We haven't even mentioned him. Aaron Donald is back. Wow.
I put him for my defense for my comeback player of the year. He's like plus 700. Pat Mahomes is plus 145. My prediction for NFL.com, we just had to finish him this morning. I've got Aaron Donald winning comeback player of the year.
Mm.
And he's not going to go to, I doubt he goes to Australia. There's no reason for him to go to Australia. They'll wait for him to come back. And then they'll link up. And I've got the Rams winning that division. And I've got Myles Garrett winning defensive player of the year. I actually have them beating the Texans in the Super Bowl is my prediction. They kick a late field goal to win. To win that one, I think I had the final score 20-17 Rams over Texans in the Super Bowl.
I'm expecting a
big year from CJ and Tank.
I've got Will Anderson Jr. winning Defensive Player of the Year, and I got CJ winning Comeback Player of the Year.
That's interesting. I don't even know if CJ had odds to win Comeback Player of the Year, but that's, to me, after the playoffs, that should be like comeback player of the year.
Right?
It's always weird. Some guys are injuries. Some guys are they're older. Like Aaron Donald, okay, he's coming back from retirement. So he missed all of last year. All right, I can see that. But it's not like he, you know, wasn't good when he left. He was still very good when he left. That's just a tricky one. Here's the comeback player of the year odds right now. This is from Vegas Insider, at least. Patrick Mahomes is the favorite, followed by Jaden Daniels, then Kyler Murray, then Aaron Donald, Daniel Jones, Malik Nabers, okay? Then Micah Parsons, but Micah's going to miss the first four games. Travis Hunter. Travis Hunter, comeback player of the year. I guess he did get hurt. I guess that's why. Nick Bosa, Fred Warner injury, George Kittle injury, Cam Scataboo injury, Tucker Kraft injury, Trey Hendrickson, Tank Dell is 40-1, Garrett Wilson, Jonathan Brooks. Now, Jonathan Brooks is an interesting one to keep an eye on for Carolina. He's somebody interesting. Tua, throwing away money, Deshaun Watson, J.J. McCarthy, Geno Smith, Brock Bowers, Quinshon Judkins. Like, these are dumb. Sam Laporta, Michael Penix. Well, I don't know what he's coming back from. He was never anything other than college. But Brian Thomas. See, Brian Thomas, to me, would be an interesting comeback player of the year after that year he had last year. Anthony Richardson, Malik Willis. I haven't even found Brian Branch, Sauce Gardner. I haven't even found your guy.
I fundamentally disagree with comeback player of the year from suck. To me, comeback player of the year should be from injury.
They don't even have CJ on the list.
Well, that would be from suck. Yeah. Because he did. Now, Bill Simmons did have, and I've said this. I'm going to tell you what. I think CJ can play, and hopefully the offensive line will let him play loose this year. I hope the running game is better. I hope he hits his tight ends a bunch. He's going to be able to check down and throw to tight ends and whatnot. I think he's going to have a fine regular season. It's the postseason that is going to – the pressure is going to be it's going to be incredible on CJ because he's going to be the whole story for the Houston Texans. But Bill Simmons had this to say about CJ this year.
The number one person with the most pressure on him this year, in my opinion, is going to be CJ Stroud because I think the Texans are really, really, really good and could absolutely make the Super Bowl and maybe should have made the Super Bowl last year, except he let them down in New England and was awful. Run game's better. Offensive line is supposedly a little better. Receiver room is better. The defense is the same and probably better, but they brought everybody back. It's all lined up for him. Just give us a C+ and we're going to win 13 games. Can you be a C?
Are you giving him a nickname? C+ Stroud?
Be a C+ Stroud. That sounds great. I'll start it right now. Just a C+. We'll go 12-5. I think he has the most pressure on him.
I don't disagree.
Do you like that nickname?
I hate that nickname.
C plus Stroud.
I'd rather have B minus CJ.
Well, his initials aren't BJ. They're CJ. C plus Stroud?
I don't like C plus. Oh, I'd rather have a C plus than a C. Yeah, they win the division with a C plus. They get to the AFC championship game with a C. Well, a lot of people would say he was C plus last year, but not in the playoffs. He was an F. He was an F minus.
F minus.
Yeah. He was a zero. He didn't turn in his paper. If you get CJ Stroud, who's a B, you win the Super Bowl. You may win the Super Bowl. A B, you're in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And you might win the Super Bowl if CJ's a B.
A B? A B?
Yeah.
What you talking about, a B? I would have taken a C, C minus.
I mean, a C minus, you're winning the division, but I don't know that you get.
You still could have beat New England with a C minus.
You still gave up some points. Of course, seven of them were from CJ.
Yeah. Four interceptions in the first half.
So, that's generationally terrible. Oh, my God. No,
C plus Stroud. I'll take C plus Stroud right now.
Why are we shooting for C pluses? We don't need to shoot for
the
C pluses.
Standards have slipped.
I know. What are you, if we go back to 2023, and now we're just saying, I'll take a C+. let's shoot higher than that. Just because he duck walks and he wears baggy clothes, now you don't have any confidence in our guy. You've lost all confidence. This is a revenge tour. Twitter told me so. At least 4% of Twitter told me that. So I'm in on CJ.
Revenge against who? His own players?
People.
What's the revenge tour?
He's not getting revenge on his own turnovers.
Revenge tour? Who did something?
The people who stopped believing in him.
If you are part of historically bad quarterback play, you can't have revenge against anyone who stopped believing. That's your fault.
No, stay over there. Like they say, stay on that side.
Revenge tour.
Stay on that side.
He's offended.
That's how you...
After forcing us to watch those two games, he's the one who's
offended.
Well,
other people are offended for him.
They're offended.
CJ fans are offended for him.
Are you a good fan or a bad fan?
Which one are you, Dale?
Forget about all that. Revenge tour. It should be an apology tour.
Do you have the new jersey? Yeah. Have you bought the new jersey?
I don't buy jerseys.
Then you're not a good fan.
I don't buy jerseys.
I sound like Mac Brown. Well, if you haven't bought the new jersey, you're not a good fan.
This year should be called an apology tour. You play better to apologize to us for what you force us to watch.
It's a make good.
Fine.
In the radio business, if we screw up a spot or miss it,
sure,
or whatever, we do make good.
But,
you get one for free.
But
CJ should play for free
no
this year?
He has no standing. I'm not saying
that. Is this
a
make good season?
I'm not saying that. Okay. But he has no standing to be on a revenge tour. You did this.
Revenge.
We didn't do to you. You did it.
It is kind of weird. Well, and he hasn't said that. It's people on Twitter.
I know he hasn't said
it. It's going to be like a movie.
But it's illogical.
It's going to be like a movie. What movie? Tell me which movie it's going to be like. It's very important to me. This year is going to be like a movie with CJ, with my quarterback
coming
out.
Revenge of the Nerds.
I don't like that
name.
Revenge
of the Nerds.
It follows.
It's a revenge year.
No, none of this. None of those are great.
Oh, my God. Did you guys see the video? Okay, John, have you seen Obsession, the movie?
No.
It's a horror movie. Right?
No, I don't watch them.
Okay. Dell, you've seen it. Because you told me to see it, right?
I have seen it. Yes.
Okay, so this guy just has a crush on this girl, and he just...
We know what it is.
You know what it is, right?
Yeah, we know what
so
it is.
So he snaps, you snap this thing, and you say...
Willow, yes.
And you say, I wish she loved me more than anything in the world, or something like that.
Yeah.
Then she becomes obsessed with him, and at first there's some positives. There's some positives. And then it's really too much. There's one where these two, landscape workers, one goes, I wish that one would love me more than anything in the world. And he clicks it. And these guys clearly work on a job site, like a landscapers. And this is one of the funniest videos. I'll send it to you. It's one of the funniest videos I've ever, where they basically play out the movie, a lot of scenes from the movie. Where the one landscaper just won't, I wish he would like me more than anyone in the world, click. And then it's one time he's jamming his head into the steering wheel real hard. But
I just want to figure out, we got here from CJ's on Revenge Tour. It's going to be like a movie.
It's going to be like
a
movie.
And then you just picked a movie.
And then a movie like Obsession, which is a horror movie. And I'm like, by the way. Yeah, no, it all makes sense how I got there.
Sure, of course. Okay.
It's a road that's not cluttered when you think about it.
So, are we in? Are we going to adopt the nickname C-plus Stroud?
No. We're not adopting it.
No.
Not yet.
No.
Let's
we're not
play
adopting
some games.
C-plus Stroud.
And it doesn't sound like a compliment. It doesn't sound complimentary.
Hey, you want to be average? That's good enough.
It's not a nickname you want to give a $60 million quarterback.
AJ Stroud.
No, that sounds like an actual name. It has to be a nickname.
What did he say?
AJ Stroud.
Has he got an A?
That doesn't work. Because his name is CJ Coleridge. Do we just call him Coleridge till he starts playing better?
That doesn't feel like a compliment.
That's his name. What do you mean?
Yeah, but you're calling him out of his name.
No, I'm not.
He said his name was CJ. They intentionally tried to avoid Coleridge
Bernard.
I don't think that's what they want.
I know. That sounds like Revenge of the Nerds.
Well, Bernard's is a nerd, a bit of a nerdish name, not all the time.
Okay,
depending on
Bun B's name is Bernard Freeman.
I said not all the time.
Okay,
I said it
be
depends.
Careful.
You cut me off. It depends on who the name is with. Bun B, not so much. CJ in January against the Patriots, it fits. Nerdish.
It's Coleridge.
Yeah.
Coleridge Bernard. You know what? M and J, that's a name.
M&J Electrical Supply is a name that's been around for 30 years. M&J Electrical Supply is owned by Jeremy Coker, who does a fantastic job of making sure that people get what they need when it comes to electrical supplies. And we're talking 365 days a year, 24/7. He's got everything that electrical contractors, general contractors, maintenance engineers, project managers, construction and demolition guys. If you are listening, then you need to be listening to me, because if you're not using M&J Electrical Supplies, you're screwing yourself. They can cut down on your lead time because they have any and all types of brand new equipment for you, ready for you very, very quickly, so you're not waiting and waiting and waiting for parts. They have circuit breakers, transformers, disconnects, panels, switch gears, everything that you could possibly imagine. They also will purchase it from you. So what they do is they come out and they will remove it before you're going to do demolition, or if you're having an installation of new equipment, they will come out professionally, take it out, and then give you top dollar for it, because what they do is they refurbish the older equipment and then they sell it with a one-year warranty. So whether you want to sell your older electrical equipment or you want to purchase refurbished equipment at discounted prices and still have great, great quality product, M&J Electrical Supply has you covered. They're located at Steubner Airline near I-45 North and West Little York. You can call them today at 713-699-5055. That's 713-699-5055.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. The other thing we didn't mention yet today, Scottie Scheffler winning the Tour Championship. I saw a stat today. He's got 18 wins between 28 and 30 years old. Tiger had that number. Dude is just dominating. Victor Hovland had the best quote, though. He said, why is Scotty winning? And he said, because everybody around him is throwing up, and he just is steady and just, you know, playing good golf. Victor Hovland yesterday had a lob wedge in his hand on 17 down two, and he hit it over the green. And then he bogeyed, and he has no shot to tie him. A lob wedge in your hand, you should be able to get close if you're a pro. And he just threw up. Everybody just threw up all over themselves and gave Scotty $80 million or whatever the prize was this year. And Scotty's just really, really good. The disappointing, you got this sound out. This is the most disappointing that I've been in a golfer or a person in a while. Here is Scotty Scheffler about what he's going to do afterwards. Here it is.
Post-championship dinner, what are you craving? You're in Atlanta, maybe some lemon pepper wings. What are you thinking?
Gosh, I don't know. Probably cheeseburger. Big cheeseburger guy. Cheeseburger, fries. Maybe a milkshake if they got one hiding back there. I had a beer for the first time in a long time. It just sounded good. Right when we got off the course, I went in there. These guys are trying to get me to do media and all this stuff. And I was like, well, how much time do I really have? They're like, well, you got a couple minutes. And I was like, all right, let me just go inside so I can get some air conditioning. And then there was an open bar right there. And I was like, all right, I'm grabbing a beer. It tasted great. Yeah, it's fun. I don't really drink very often. My wife and my manager were like, wow, I haven't seen you have a beer in a long time. And it's like, yeah, well, season's over now. I'm going to have a beer. Well-earned beer.
That was so Scotty.
That was Scotty.
Wait, who was it that ran over a security guard?
That was him.
Oh, Scotty. Yeah. He hadn't had a beer since. Well, no, he was just running.
It was in the morning.
Yeah, he was running late.
Oh, that, would that stop you?
Yeah, have you ever been to your Christmas party?
Don't think Tiger hadn't had some in the morning.
I know. Okay? No, that's right. He was just like, I'm supposed to go over there. Well, sir, we just need to check something. I don't follow your rules.
Tiger's out there, you know, hitting everything that he can't possibly can. Waffle House waitresses.
He doesn't play golf anymore.
And doing as many drugs as he can. Okay. And here's Scotty Scheffler. I haven't had a beer in a while. His wife and we haven't seen you drink a beer. I'm like, that's disgusting. What are you doing with your life? What are you doing? I mean,
trying to remember where gifts are.
Well,
he knows.
I'm pretty sure
gifts,
he probably
maybe
forgot
he knows
a gift
where all his gifts are now. That's hey, where's just... your golf bag? Right there, exactly where I left it.
Hmm.
Where's your sleeve of golf balls?
Trust me, I always know where my golf bag is. Trust me. I wish I had that Coors Light tumbler, though.
Well, you could have.
If Joe didn't steal it or something.
Now Joe stole it from. I can say after the party, we walked over to the other part of St. Arnold, and Joe was not carrying a Coors Light tumbler with him at any point.
He might have given it to somebody.
Okay. No, you would have had to because
you don't know.
It was relayed to us by the gift giver that it was placed in your hand. So you would have had to give it to somebody.
No one's got proof of that either.
They were there. Now you're
multiple eyewitnesses in the same family.
The same family was all sitting
at the
table.
They were all excited
and
happy, like, oh, Dad, I'm glad you're able to meet your favorite show. Now he wakes up this morning like heartbroken.
Mm.
He's changed the name of the show because of what John said.
Maybe he could give me another one.
Oh,
and then,
okay.
No.
And then, well, give it to me when I'm not. Quite enough. I haven't had all those
check
Coors Light
chances. Cybertruck. It's probably in there.
It might be.
Or you dropped it on the way out.
I doubt it because I don't remember carrying anything.
Yeah, so. I didn't see you with anything in your hands, but I don't remember. Yeah.
No. Nope. So I'm not sure. Somebody stole. I think somebody stole it is what happened.
I didn't. No one stole it.
Yeah.
Are you guys surprised that how – did you notice how beloved Dolly Parton was?
I know,
Chick-fil-A
right?
is flying their flags half-mast.
And what about they're going to rename the Nashville airport maybe?
Yeah. People
I mean,
love,
that makes sense, the Dolly Parton airport.
Love Dolly Parton. You know what the number one show is right now on Hulu? The number one show right now, number two, Furious. Number one, 9 to 5, the movie from 1980 or 81, whatever. My wife and I turned it on, started watching it, and I just kind of casually, like, do you know no one else is named Dabney anymore? This is the last Dabney, Dabney Coleman.
Yeah.
She's like, what? Why are you saying that? It's just something we talked about on the show. She's like, yeah, figures. Yeah, stuff like that comes up on the show. There's no Dabneys anymore.
There's no Dabneys. You don't know what Dabney.
There's no first name Dabneys, but we were watching it, and it was it's like it doesn't hold. The Xerox machine was this crazy, like it could literally just shoot paper out of it at any time, just shoot thousands of papers out of it at any time, and it's this monstrous machine, like wrong. Like yeah, that's not really, that doesn't really hold up as well right now. Dolly Parton held up though. That little wearing the low cut thing and the boss who's, you know, kind of a creep. That's still a thing in 2026. That hadn't changed. There's still some Dabney Coleman's running around, and there's definitely some Dolly Parton's running around.
Yep. Oh, Dolly's. There's Dolly's running around.
Yeah. Did you see the video I sent you in your Gmail? That my man Christian from Belize sent me, the Sydney Sweeney joint.
Oh yeah, I saw that. I'd seen that before. My timeline. No one had to send me that.
Your timeline already had it.
No, his timeline already had that. Yeah, yeah,
I don't. My timeline's filled with offensive line play. So,
Joan says, "Hey, great gathering. Paisan meets my better half and says hello. She always gives me so much ship." And I said, yeah, that's what I said. She gives me a lot of ship. I've got proof here. Daniel Murillo sent us pictures. I do not have the tumbler in my hand. Someone had already stolen it.
We don't know when that picture was taken.
I'm pretty sure. If you can see by my eyes, it looks like it was late.
You walked in like that.
Well, but it was later.
Whatever. We don't know. We just know you were given something and didn't take it with you.
Well, so whatever. We're done with that. 713-780-3776. You got one more segment to get in here. But what a great place. I'm telling you, Lance, it's St. Arnold. What is there a better? That's a great
place
to
have a party. They're awesome. They're great people, and it is a great spot. We were in the beer hall. You can go to the Investors Pub, which is like 20 to 100 people. It's a much smaller, more intimate. You may still be able to get your fantasy football draft there if you want to have just your own place And I don't know if you're going to get 20 there, but it's great for business, for lunch meetings or happy hours where an entire office can come there. You can bring clients there, turn it into parties. It's a great place for smaller events as well, because they also have audio visual capabilities. So they got the microphone, they've got, you know, everything set up in terms of being able to run PowerPoints or have, play videos. How about this? The beer hall where we are, huge spaces, a ton of tables, great opportunity for you to have a wedding reception there, a big wedding reception there, or a huge family, you know, gathering. Maybe you're going to do a big family reunion, or you're having a reunion, your class reunion, something like that. That'd be a great spot to have it. They cater. They completely cater for you. Beer, cider, soft drinks. You've, of course, got great food, including some fantastic pizzas that they have on the menu. And everything about it is their service and the hospitality is top-notch. It is a no-brainer, St. Arnold. Go to StArnold.com, click private events on the upper right-hand corner, and start sending your information about when you want to lock down your Christmas party or whatever party you want over at St. Arnold. It's StArnold.com.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 975-713-780-3776. You better hurry. This is our final segment. Is there anything that we missed terribly?
We didn't really touch on, not that there was a lot of it, we didn't touch on it outside of the USC crowd, what happened college football wise. I mean, we had
USC won, but it wasn't.
We had Virginia beat up on NC State in an ACC game where one of the ACC linebackers, or NC State linebackers, said, "Hey, we kind of knew Bo Prabula would run, but it wasn't really what we were focused on," which is silly because that's the best thing he does. So Virginia gets off to a good start. USC played a lot of freshmen in one. Not a lot of people were in the stands for it. Dan Mullen lost to Memphis at UNLV, and the videos coming out of the Memphis locker room, not safe for work, but let's just say they enjoyed beating UNLV and said F UNLV anytime they could in the locker room after the game. The coach said it, by the way. Their new coach.
Oh, wow.
I forgot. He was at Marshall. I forgot his name. What's the Memphis coach? He just got there.
Silverfeld or whatever left.
He left. I don't know where he is. Arkansas. He's at Arkansas. Yeah. But what's his name? Charles Huff. Because everyone films everything, one of the players, I assume, had their camera out and was streaming it, and he was like, "Bleep them and F Memphis," and that was the call. That was apparently the tagline for the entire Memphis roster, because in video celebrating it was like F UNLV, F UNOV. So they got the upset win and told everyone how much they enjoyed beating up on UNLV.
Wow.
Well, Dan Mullen, in his post-game press conference, said, "Can we please do the wave when we're on defense and be quiet when we're on offense? That'd be great." Apparently, the UNLV fans, I don't know how packed it was, but the UNLV fans are doing the wave while the team has the ball. And he's like, he blamed that. He's kind of acting like me a little bit, blaming everybody. Maybe, but himself. We didn't think that he would run the ball.
We didn't expect Bo Prabula to run the ball as much as he did.
Okay.
He can barely throw a forward pass. At least not into a zone. That's what he does. His greatest attribute is his legs. Dave Doran, what are you teaching? It's tough because NC State decided to kind of bolster their roster with people who couldn't play at Miami so much. Like, their linebacker, who I was quoting, was kind of a backup rotational guy, and then they got a receiver starting for them. I've never found that works, getting guys from high majors who don't really play for the high major.
He threw for 155 and ran for 110.
Yeah, he's a runner.
Yeah.
He's a runner.
Yeah.
Our guy, five-star one, he had plus points with NC State. I think he had – I'm sorry, with North Carolina. They won outright. I think he had under in that one as well. What else did
he had NC State too, though.
Okay, so that was a loser. So I think he was 2-1. Here's something that's kind of funny. So the Boston Red Sox, Red Sox and Yankees played, And the Red Sox play-by-play announcer, Will Fleming, was just ripping Jazz Chisholm. Not a big Jazz Chisholm fan. If you don't know, Jazz Chisholm has a little extra, has some extra flair. But that I'm not sure that that's what bothered him as much as some of the unwritten rules of baseball. I'll give you an example. He calls a game on WEEI, Will Fleming does. And in the eighth inning of the Yankees, it was a 16-1 win against or the 16-1 victory Sunday at Yankee Stadium, New York's win. With the Yankees holding a 7-1 lead, however, Chisholm drew a leadoff walk against Red Sox left-hander Giovanni Moran and stole second base. Boston elected not to hold Chisholm on at second, so he also promptly stole third. And I guess that's one of those things where, like, look, y'all are up six. We're not going to hold you. It's kind of a gentleman's agreement, I guess. I'm just of the mind that six runs is not insurmountable, but whatever. So he stole third without a throw, drawing the ire of Fleming and color analyst Willie Middlebrooks. Chisholm's doing it again, Fleming said, as Chisholm trotted into third. This is what he does. As Middlebrooks bemoaned Chisholm stealing extra bases while the Yankees held a six-run lead, Fleming added that Moran should retaliate against Yankees catcher Austin Wells, who was hitting at the time. Wouldn't you sort of like it to see Moran drill Wells right here? Fleming said. Middlebrooks responded that Chisholm was being selfish and padding his stats, while Fleming added that Chisholm is a Bush League player. Three pitches later, Wells lined a two-run homer right into right field to plate Jazz Chisholm, whose slow trot around third baseline drew another rebuke from Fleming's. Quote, Moran should fight Chisholm. Moran is walking towards third baseline, staring at him right there. He should fight Chisholm. The play-by-play announcer was calling for one of the Red Sox to fight Jazz Chisholm. That is hilarious.
He doesn't love Jazz
Chisholm. I'm going to say it. He plays the game the wrong way. Although he did add that he was, quote, awesome and so talented. So,
no.
He should fight him right here.
I agree. Fight him.
Get him out.
Get him
now,
out.
Now, sometime if you are showing somebody up, like I love how, so Sarah, this is an inconsistency I don't love. People in baseball, when the baseball people say, hey, you shouldn't show people up, like try to embarrass people. Now, there's different definitions of embarrassing people. But if you're, baseball has very clear-cut definitions of what embarrassing looks like, right? So then people who don't really care about baseball, this is so old, you guys get them out there and you blah, blah. But they're the same people that if they're playing basketball in a pickup game, or they see their favorite team where someone steps over a player after a dunk or stares them after a dunk or whatever, they'll be some of the same people like, uh-uh, you can't let them do that. Well, that's the same concept. If somebody steps over you in a pickup game when you're on the ground and you get all mad and want to fight, in baseball, there's certain things that in their minds are elevated to that stat. Like, you don't play baseball, so you don't know. This is considered super disrespectful in our sport. Where in basketball, a basketball fan may say, that's nothing, but then get mad if someone steps over you. A baseball person say, they stepped over you, what do you care? But every sport has its thing where players say, no. You're not going to punk me like this. Don't you try to show me up and embarrass me. You know, football will – I don't know what football is, because you always have a get back on the field. Like there's always the physicality. What it should be is when you drop a ball or you have a pass go right off your hands and a cornerback tries to start doing the incomplete stuff. If you had nothing to do with it, definitely don't do the seatbelt. Definitely don't do the seatbelt. But if cornerbacks have nothing to do with an incompletion and they were beaten, they should not be allowed to do the universal incomplete sign. They should not be allowed to do that. You don't get to do that. You don't get to do that. They're the only ones that do that. I do like that when you hit somebody hard and they get right up and do the first down, like a wide receiver got smashed or a tight end, and they get right up like nothing's wrong, and they do the first. That, to me, is tough guy football. That, of course, wouldn't be. I don't know what showing up would be like in football. I think maybe turning around and or walking into the end zone as someone's chasing you, you got a big enough lead, you kind of walk in. I don't know what football what showing up looks like on football. I'm not sure what that would look like.
Well, I mean stepping over them or it's already a penalty if you're celebrating over a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they penalize it. They don't penalize it in baseball or basketball. Well, basketball, they can't give technicals.
Yeah, they give.
So
yeah,
they actually sometimes they do. They don't often. They actually don't often. If you just step over a guy, that draws the ire of an entire bench. Like, everyone gets pissed off from that team. But they don't always call techs on it. Not always. In football, they don't mess around anymore. They call it quick.
No, absolutely. Anything else we missed, Del?
Djokovic went out last night in the U.S. Open.
In tears.
That was early.
That's the first time in 20 tries
he's
lost in the first round. He was 19-0 in the first round.
First round, went out yesterday. I guess he's not healthy.
That dude was tough, though. I was watching some of that match. That dude was tough.
The guy he was playing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was – I mean, Djokovic was the fourth seed, and he's playing that guy in the first round?
Yeah, there's some scrap. Tennis, sometimes you run into a little buzzsaw. I mean, these guys play each other all the time.
Yeah.
So they know, you know, they kind of know each other's games. And if you're – sometimes you're just not on your game because, you know – in tennis, you will literally throw an entire set away. If you get broken twice or if you go down 3-love, sometimes guys won't even try. They might, 6-love, 6-1, I don't care. You can have this set. I'm playing for the next one. I'm saving my energy.
Did you – I watched the Vince and I watched the Mourinho. That was pretty, they were both pretty good.
So I'm in the Vince documentary very, very briefly. I'm in there.
Did you
and
see
I
that?
Also I started Martina versus Chrissy.
So you're just watching ESPN. You're watching Netflix docs.
Yeah, that's all I was doing. Well, I've had I don't know how many plane flights, and I got another one Thursday.
Yeah, that's true.
How many times do you think Chris Evert played Martina Navratilova?
I would say probably. Man, this is a hard guess. She was on the back end of her career when Martina. Well, no, they played plenty. I'm going to say 25.
Higher.
Oh, how many times ever they played? Just not in the finals. 45.
Higher.
60.
80.
Golly.
I mean,
80 times.
80 times.
That'd be 4 times a year over a 20-year span, which they didn't play 20 years. So that's 8 times a year over a 10-year span, which they probably played more. So you're looking at 6 over 15, over 14 probably, something like that.
Crazy.
Yeah, and usually because of the way it's set up, they're not playing until the semifinals or the finals.
Right.
So just think about that, how often they were playing in big situations.
Yep. I just started it, but I'm going to watch it today.
And Martina was a power player where Chris Evert was just a serve and volley, you know, took her a little. She wasn't going to beat you with, she was going to finesse you. Martina had a little power.
Oh, yeah.
Different types of players.
Well, they were wondering where that cut power came from, too, for a while.
Well, I remember that because she was Eastern Bloc.
Aaron Judge.
No, not like Aaron Judge. Stop putting it on Judge. Well, I don't care. You can put it on him. I don't care.
I can put it on Aaron Judge.
I mean, if it's a lawsuit, he can sue you. He's not. He can sue Wendy.
I never said anything. All I said was wonder where the power came from. That's all.
And then you guys are upset because I point out that when I point out that the big dumper turned into the big slumper a year after having 60 home runs.
Still need an explanation why he would stop.
Why? Yeah, why, Lance?
Stop what? Stop
exactly.
Hitting home runs?
Exactly.
I don't know why he would stop hitting home runs.
Your intimation suggested that something was amiss.
No, I think it was an incredible outlier season.
But even this season is an outlier because
he's
never
Brady,
this bad.
Brady Anderson had an outlier.
Yeah, you keep mentioning Brady Anderson,
I wonder
Luis
why.
Gonzalez.
What happened with Brady Anderson?
Raleigh was a power-hitting
what
catcher
happened
even
Anderson?
Before last season.
Brady didn't get caught doing anything.
This is a fall-off that doesn't make any sense because even when he wasn't hitting 60, he was hitting 30, 34, 27.
Brady Anderson was never linked to performance-enhancing drugs by any official investigation.
Except for Lance
But his
Irwin.
Shocking 50-home run season in 96 made him a frequent subject of steroid speculation. All I said was, you guys can speculate all I want. It was reminiscent of Brady Anderson's outlier season. That's all it is. And then you guys immediately run with it and speculate.
What do you think? We're stupid. We ain't brand new. We know what you're doing.
I'm not doing anything.
Don't try to play this game.
Not
we
doing
know
anything.
What you were up to.
Big Slumper had a great season last year, and now he sucks. And the Mariners are terrible.
Yep. Well, we'll probably have to call HR when you get sued. And
hopefully.
That's when we get HR and P in here.
I'm looking for him to get sued.
HRP is going to handle Lance and going to handle the situation, because that's what HRP does. They handle all of your HR problems. They handle all of your HR. I mean, not every HR thing is a problem. I mean, your PTO, your days off, your sick days, all of that stuff, that's all HR. That's all HR. And we have a person that is part-time at our station, just a part-time, does very little, and because HRP handles all the rest, okay? So I don't know how big your business is, how it's growing, how, you know, you're all of a sudden your costs are going up. Now all of a sudden your personnel, number of people you have to hire because you need payroll, you need HR, you need tax. Now you're paying a tax consultant, you're paying an accountant, you're doing all of this stuff when you can just have HRP handle everything. And HRP does it better than your people will do it, because HRP has the technology that you don't have. You don't do this stuff. You sell your widgets. Sell your widgets and let HRP take care of all this other stuff. It's what they do. And they do it great, because you hear all the testimonials on our air from all the people that use HRP, love HRP, and you will too. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
A new study shows that thousands of women that have no sexual desire are having what is now called mercy sex with their spouses just so they'll stick around.
Oh, what? This is News of the Weird? This sounds I can see that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's... I'm pretty sure my wife's had that for years.
Why does she need you to stick around?
Well, I don't get half.
And you, oh, good point.
I don't get half.
Good point. Okay? We all cheer for you in that regard. We don't see this often.
Yeah, yeah. A man found $30 on the floor of a Walmart. Police launched a manhunt to bring him to justice. Isn't it finders, keepers, losers, weepers anymore?
Yeah, same thing with that tumbler.
Does a manhunt need to be
manhunt for the Coors Light tumbler?
I know. Should there be a manhunt for whoever stole my tumbler?
It depends. Was a gun put to you and you had to give it up? Like, $30 on the floor requires a manhunt. Did he rob someone, or did he just pick up $30? Because he picked up $30.
He found $30. What are we doing? There's a video of him.
What are we doing?
He found the $30 on the floor, didn't return it to the employees, and the police hunted him down.
And what's the crime?
In an update to the police said the man involved returned the money to the victim after they found him. The victim initially wished to pursue charges, but after the money was returned, advised that they no longer would. It's $30!
And I'm just supposed to know that it's your money on the floor?
Right.
Well, how would I know that?
Exactly.
I'm just supposed to go up to a Walmart worker and go, hey, I found $30? That would be nice, but how's a Walmart person going to give that money to someone? They don't know whose money is on the floor.
That's unbelievable. Hey, they hunted him down.
If you lose,
found him, and then went and I get to arrest him.
This isn't the bank where you clearly have more money in your account than you should, and then you have, and then obviously you take that money. There's a problem. It's $30 on the floor. What? Charge it to the game. If you lose $30, you charge that to the game. Oh, made a mistake. Yep. That's on me. We keep it moving. What are we doing? We're spending
this
money.
Just terrible. Hey, did you guys see this story in Houston? Apparently, there's a Ring video of a DoorDash driver caught on camera delivering food to a Northeast Houston home naked.
Oh.
Do you want your DoorDash driver to be naked?
Can you make that request?
No, but I just found out Mason just started driving like some Uber Eats just to pick up some quick money. I'm like, what are you doing?
You just found that out?
I just kind of busted him on Life 360. You can kind of track your kids' stuff. Like, what are you driving out to Pearland? I'm doing food orders.
So your kids don't take anything you guys think into account. He's just going to start a job and not let you know?
No, they just do stuff.
Well, they get in major trouble. At least he's starting a job instead of dealing drugs.
Right. Yeah, and he also needs to pay got multiple reports. You have to show cause in court because you haven't paid this traffic ticket. Wow. It's the same one I showed him for four different. Hey, here's another letter from them. Yeah, they're going to boot you. They're going to boot you. And now they're like, all right, show up in court. Now he's like, I guess I better pay. Yeah, I guess you better pay it.
That's not weird, but that is what you just did. You just finished the show with your kid having. That's not weird for your kids
that's
to
not
have
weird.
Some kind of, yeah, some
not
kind
weird
of ticket
at all.
That they
it's
didn't
just
pay.
What they do.
It's what they do. It's what my kids do,
when
too.
When he talked about, I guess I got to go to court.
Shut up, you stupid ass. Shut up, you dummy.
Is that what you said to him?
Yeah. I don't know if you know this, but the bills don't go away.
Yeah. Court
will
continue
to
ask.
They will.
And then demand their money.
Then it's your license. Then it's boots, license, and it's not the boots you wear. It's boots on your car. Boots, license. I got a boot on my car when I went to watch the Everton match at pitch 25.
What?
Yeah, I forgot to put a I was on the phone with my wife, and we were kind of having a serious conversation. I forgot to, put my little driver, whatever it is, get the little thing and put the sticker in your car, the little, pay for your parking.
Yeah.
The little ticket there. I was there for 2.5 hours. I come back, two boots on my car.
Two?
Yeah, they had to come and take $131. Instead of me getting a ticket for $35 or whatever it would be, they threw boots on. Like, this is a new money-making scheme. Be careful. There were four cars with boots on in there.
I don't know.
That's what you're trying to avoid taxes. Yeah, that's what you're doing. Okay, everybody else got to pay. You got to pay.
Well, that's not taxes. It was paying to park. Dodging taxes.
John, you have no business talking about accountability today. Yeah. Okay,
be accountable.
No business.
All right. Mm-hmm. I am so accountable. I am absolutely. Did I drive? No. But did somebody steal my Tumblr? Yes.
No one stole your gift.
Stole my gift. So that's awful. You're an awful person if you stole my gift.
What if you accuse the person who gave you the gift of being untrustworthy and hateful like you did? Are you a good person?
I never said that they were untrustworthy.
You said, I don't know what they're talking about, and they just hate me. You said that.
Maybe they didn't give it to me. No one knows. You don't know.
Well, they know.
You don't know. You don't have proof.
You're right, because I try to stay away from you as much as I can.
Yes, that's right. You don't know. You didn't see it. All right, we're done. Mopey and Mapes are next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the ESPN 97.5. But first, we're going to talk about your career. We're going to talk about you in a dead-end place. We're going to talk about you being – I'm telling you, please, please, please – if you're somewhere where you just don't want to be, if you go get up every morning and you hate your job, if you're not on pace, if you don't have nice high wages, health insurance, retirement planning, that peace of mind comes with all of that stuff. The International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 66 in Houston, wants to talk to you. 125 years they've been doing this. They work on the electrical grid. You can learn it. I don't know anything about the electrical grid. Most everybody didn't know anything about the electrical grid before they started. All right, and you get paid on-the-job training. So it's going to take a while for you to be somebody that's on your own doing it yourself. You got to learn it. It's a career. That's okay. You get paid the whole time while you're learning. If you're fresh out of high school, transitioning from the military, exploring a new career, just ready for a change, IBEW66.com. That's IBEW66.com. Powering careers, powering the future, IBEW66.